Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. I'm Clint Ritchie here with my co-host, Dr. Sam Roberts, and we have made it to December, Dr. Sam.
Yeah, how about that?
We have survived. A year. That's right. Yeah, we have survived. We haven't been canceled in 12 months yet. Hey, it is
But we still don't know how many people listen to the podcast.
No, so. We don't. And by the way, just a reminder, if you listen, go leave us a review, and that way we know somebody actually listens. So, hey, it's holiday time, Christmas time. Everybody is in the hustle and bustle, of course, of all the Christmas activities. But for Southern Baptists, this is one of the best times of the year for
us. Yes, sir.
This is, right now, we are in the middle of the week of prayer for international missions as part of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering emphasis. Our Southern Baptists will be collecting this offering throughout the month of December. 100% of Lottie Moon goes straight to the field. And we are just celebrating what God continues to do through the International Mission Board. I just ask, let's just take a moment to listen to some stats here. Why Lottie Moon? Why do we need Lottie Moon? Well, we are supporting 3,515 missionaries that with comprehensive care. And I would also add not just individuals, but families that are involved in that. There are 1,036 unique people groups that were engaged with the gospel for the first time last year. Over 879,000 people heard the gospel for the first time. There were 141,206 new believers. I mean, think about that. 141,206 people began the year last year dead in Christ, and through efforts of our missionaries became alive in Christ.
Amen.
As a result of that, there were just short of 117,000 baptisms. Roughly 270,000 people were discipled. 12,618 trained in church planting. We could go on and on. Every one of those numbers represents individuals, represents souls, and represents the impact that Southern Baptists are making as we are praying, we're giving, and we're going. And by the way, last year, Lottie Moon Christmas offering set a record of $206.8 million last year.
That's incredible.
Very incredible.
Southern Baptists have always been very supportive in terms of their giving, generous in terms of their giving to missions causes. And we're so grateful for the giving of Arkansas Baptists to Lottie Moon and the cooperative program.
Right.
Thank you for your giving and appreciate each of you as you emphasize Lottie Moon at your churches during this time of the year. Hey, joining us on our podcast today is one of my friends from years back, good old Washita buddy. We have the pleasure of having one of our International Mission Board missionaries with us today, Clint. This is Cliff Case. Cliff and his wife, Cynthia, serve in Chile. Cliff, welcome to Missionize. I think I'm going to mess up on that a couple of times, Clint and Cliff.
I've been called Cliff so many times through my life.
And I have been called Clint so many times in my life. Yeah.
So, hey, welcome to Missionize, my friend.
It's good to be here.
Glad you're here with us and glad that you are serving the International Mission Board in Chile. Would you take a few moments and introduce yourself, your family, and your journey to this point in life?
Well, okay, we'll try to do it in a few minutes. It's good to be here with you guys. Clint, we won't call him Cliff today, and Sam. Yeah, it's good to be in Arkansas. You know, it's just home for me. My wife's parents were actually Arkansasers, and they were on a mission field back with the FMB. And so just to share a little bit about ourselves, I'm Cliff Case. Grew up in the Oak Grove area, just outside of North Little Rock, past Burns Park. And my wife is Cynthia. She's a missionary kid from South America. Her parents were missionaries in Argentina, Panama, and Paraguay. And so she has a big heritage in that mission field from Arkansas. Her parents grew up in Fort Smith and Russellville, and her aunt and uncle were missionaries, and they grew up in Arkansas. And so that's pretty much her background. Speaks perfect Spanish before we ever met. So we got to Arkansas when I was in third grade. I started out Oak Grove, which does not exist. There might be an elementary school, but there's no high school anymore. And so we moved into the area down by the river, and we started going to Crystal Valley Baptist Church.
Yeah.
So Crystal Valley Baptist Church back in the 60s was a small little thing back there. Pastor Walker, Ed Walker, was our pastor. And I was saved in that church. I remember the Sunday I was standing in listening to the sermon. I can't remember the sermon. I just know that it was just hitting me right home, and I knew something had happened. My mom saw me cry, and she just sort of pushed me out in the aisle, and I went right down the aisle. And Brother Walker's, he wasn't very tall. Well, I was a kid, but looking back, he was not a tall guy. He was wider than he was tall. And he got down on the steps. He sat down on the steps with me and explained the gospel again to me to make sure I understood what I was doing. I gave my life to Jesus in that little bitty church. 2 weeks later, I was baptized, part of that church, for a couple of two or three years. And then my older sister, who was getting into high school or junior high, there was nothing for her. There was no youth group. There's no choirs and things like that. And so my parents started moving around. We started checked out Levy, went to Baring Cross. I think we probably went to Park Hill. I don't remember. But we found Baring Cross, mission-minded church, and my parents liked it. There was a good youth group. And we stopped. We stayed there. So Baring Cross is my second home church, really, and my home church in Arkansas for years. I mean, it's just where I grew up. And I was just part of that church. I mean, you just get discipled. We had RAs and GAs and mission friends, and there was choir, and there was youth group, and all that kind of thing. And Baring Cross was so mission-minded. I look back, and after I've, you know, as a kid, I probably didn't realize it, but looking back, it was so mission-minded. I think they planted several of the churches around North Little Rock, if I'm not mistaken, quite a number that exists is because Baring Cross planted them. But on mission-wise, hearing about missions, there was RAs, we're there, we're always doing that. But when I got into seventh grade, the youth group would go on a mission trip every year. And we had to do that. You had to be involved in the Vacation Bible School, teaching in Vacation Bible School. You had to know how to share your testimony. You know, had to know how to teach a little seventh grader. I look back and go, seventh grader, teaching? But that's what they trained us to do. And so we were involved in all the stuff to do that. Seventh grade, we went to Reno, Nevada on a mission trip. Eighth grade, we went to Columbus, Ohio on a mission trip. The next 4 years, we went to the Rio Grande River Valley. And those I remember, whoo, and we were working in Spanish, and I was learning Spanish in school, which didn't help us a lot. But that really is probably what got me into missions without even knowing it, because it's in front of us all the time, and we were doing it, we were living it, and all that kind of stuff. So my mentor in the ministry is Louis Crissell. And he was the one in charge of those trips and taking us and teaching us that stuff. And we learned a lot because he told us stuff, but just looking at him and what he did and how he guided us just trained us up to be mission-minded. It was a great, I can't imagine a better youth life or the years of my childhood as that church. From there, of course, in the 11th grade, I got called. I felt God calling me into the ministry. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
But because my church backed me up and said, we license you to the music ministry, it was like, okay. And so I went to Wichita to study church music. And so that's sort of my direction. Wichita is the place to be. Music, there was a weekend we always went where all the choirs from all over went to Wichita and sang at the halftime show. Did you ever do that?
No.
That's one choir day at Wichita.
See, Cliff and I knew each other at Wichita, but we never had a class together.
No,
Cliff,
no, because I
he was a music guy.
Yeah, and you were.
I was far away from that particular school.
And you probably didn't play soccer, so see, at that point, we're in different places. So anyway, in that sense, the call to to missions and come passion. I was just felt, I'm just going to go to Wichita and this is the place to go. But it was funny, at Wichita, my third year, I ended up signing up to go to Nigeria as an exchange student. I actually had no intention to go, but Kim Fisher, who's down, is around here in Little Rock.
Yeah, Kim's on staff.
Kim said, hey, why don't you apply to go to Nigeria? I think she was applying also. So I applied to go, had no thought about it, and they chose me to go. With Conway Stone, we went to Nigeria as an exchange student. It was work and study. So we studied at the seminary and then worked. And in the middle of that year, God just was working on my heart, and he called me into missions. And so I was, okay, I can do missions. I can do what? Working with music and youth, and I can just do it overseas. Anyway, eventually went to seminary to study Bible because I want to be able to teach kids Bible, and ended up getting a theology degree and sitting in a preaching class, looking like a youth guy, and all these guys dressed up, wearing their briefcases and all this stuff, and me with my backpack sitting in a class, and I felt God say, I want you to pastor. And I went, who is he talking to now? And so anyway, out of that, I ended up pastoring. I got a pastor's heart. I like to pastor, but I do pastor a lot of youth, a lot of young people in that sense. But that's how my calling to get to the field was. My wife has a different calling. She was called to work into finances, and that's what she does. She works with the finance department of the IMB, in the sense on the field, in America. So she's involved in that. She likes to work behind the scenes. If there's an opportunity to speak in front of a church, she pushes me forward because she'd rather that I do that, and she stays back. But we work together on a pretty good team on that. So that's how I got to the field. We have two boys. They're both born. They're both cowboys, but one was born in Texas and one was born in Wyoming. Because from seminary, we ended up getting a church in Wyoming. And our second son, Clayton, was born in Wyoming. Caleb was born in seminary down in Fort Worth. So that's our two boys. One's in Houston now, and the other's in Omaha. And our youngest found his wife at Wichita. Both of our boys went to Wichita, so we owe Wichita a good deal. We got them through, and they don't owe a dime. And it was a good experience for them.
Awesome.
So, anyway, awesome. I don't know if that tells you where I'm at this point. Now we're in Chile.
No. Kind of share with us a little bit about the journey with IMB and where you have served and where you're currently serving.
Well, I would say we were appointed as FMB missionaries back in 92. So we were one of those last groups. Probably a couple of years later, it changed to IMB. And so Cynthia and I were appointed to go to Rocha, Uruguay. But I didn't have much Spanish. My Spanish was very Arkansas high school Spanish, which is not much. And so they said, you need Spanish, so we were going to go to Costa Rica. Cynthia, growing up in the mission field, she's bilingual. And so we went to Costa Rica in 92, end of 92, did about 9 months there, learning Spanish, speaking to the people, going to church. And then they sent us on to Rocha, Uruguay. And I got there, and the truth is they spoke a different Spanish, so I had to relearn Spanish. I was like, man, come on, people. Why are you changing the language on me? But my wife, growing up in Argentina, speaks a lot like Uruguayans. So we got there, and I said, so are they speaking Spanish? And she goes, oh, yeah, it's good Spanish. And I was like, I'm in trouble now. I've studied 9 months, and I don't understand. But, you know, God is good, and it takes you a while, and you start listening to it, your ear picks up, and you start speaking a Uruguayan-type Spanish. And so we served in Uruguay for 14 years. I had no intention of doing sports and stuff. I mean, I have church music and youth background, pastoral stuff. But we were praying. We weren't getting anywhere. People wouldn't open the door. And how are we going to get in homes? And we started praying. God opened the door, show us how to win men to the Lord so we can have strong churches and win the families. And so after 3 years, we'd only won three people to the Lord. It was like, oh, should we come back? And God said, go back. And he opened baseball and started doing baseball. We had a team from Park Hill come down to do baseball with us. We had some other teams from North Carolina and different places. We had some from northwest Arkansas come down. And so we started doing baseball, and things just started popping. And so we used baseball to share the gospel. That first year, we saw five young men come to know the Lord in Rocha. We started discipling them, and we got the opportunity. They called us to do baseball in another town. We did baseball there, and five more young men came to know the Lord. And then we had a couple, the Fairs, came from Monticello and came and worked with us for 2 years to help us with baseball, because I was working 8 days a week on baseball and Bible studies. And my wife said, you need to stay home a day. But the Fairs came and worked with us. And what's interesting is their daughter was 4 years old at the time. And about 5 years ago, Sophia came to work with us in Chile.
Oh,
as
wonderful.
A sojourner for the summer.
Great.
And of course she's much taller now and grown up, and now she has become a teacher in Arkansas, finished her schooling stuff. So it's amazing how God works those little connections.
Yeah, yeah.
Back and forth, and just blesses us with those. So anyway, so we did baseball and stuff for a long time, and 17 years ago they needed someone to work in finance in Chile. And they interviewed Cynthia and asked her to come over, which means I have to go to Chile. And so we moved to Chile. And I can do what I do with students and youth and all sorts. So God answered prayer and said, yeah, go to Chile. We took our youngest at 16, which I don't recommend. But we prayed, Lord, because when we told him, he said, so when are you going to come visit me? Because he wasn't leaving Uruguay. But God took care of that, because we were at the time on furlough, our stateside, and we were in Arkadelphia, and he was going to First Baptist Youth Group. And I told the youth guy what was happening. I said, I don't need you to convince him. I need you to just pray with us. If it comes up, just talk to him. And so he came home, I don't know, a month later or so. He was all excited. He said, First Baptist Arkadelphia is going to come to Chile and work with us. And I said, he's coming with us. And that was good.
Awesome.
That was really
awesome.
Excellent time to work. So we've been in Chile ever since.
And so that's 32 years?
32 years with the board.
Incredible. Wow. Thanks, Cliff.
It seems it really does seem like a whole lot shorter.
Yeah.
But it's gone fast.
Yeah.
32
awesome.
Years.
Hey, Clint is going to ask some rapid-fire questions now. To get your responses, just so Arkansas Baptists and those who listen to our podcast would be able to know you a little better. The man behind the missions there in Chile. So, Clint, take it away.
All right, here we go. Favorite meal?
There or here?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I like strawberry rhubarb pie. But as in a meal, a Chilean meal is pastel de choclo, which is like shepherd's pie, except it's got a piece of chicken in the base, the bottom part, with ground beef and onions and all this stuff. And on the top, it's not mashed potatoes. It's like a corn mush stuff on top.
Mm.
They sprinkle sugar on it, put it in the oven, and it glazes the top. And it's excellent Chilean food, I would say.
Hmm. All right. Favorite restaurant?
Ooh, La Uruguaya, which is the Uruguayan in Chile, because they fix Uruguayan food and they're in Chile. And so we do have an affinity towards Uruguay, and Uruguayans eat a lot of meat, and they have some really good meat stuff. But one of the things they make actually is my favorite food is chivito, which is not goat. Although that's the word for it. It is a Dagwood type sandwich. And you can get it on a plate of fries without the bread and with a fried egg. It's got a little steak, and then it's got ham or bacon, and then a fried egg. And
come on.
It's just really, really good.
Now, when you're on stateside, what do you like to eat here in the U.S. that you may not be able to get?
Oh, man, I like home cooking, but I will chicken fried steak.
Mm.
Is really good.
Yeah.
With that white gravy, some pepper and onion. Oh,
mashed potatoes. Yeah.
Mashed potatoes.
With the same
green
gravy.
Beans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the same.
Yeah.
That's what I had yesterday for lunch.
Everything smothered in that white gravy.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't hungry until
I started talking.
Yeah. All right, what's your favorite go-to relaxation spot?
Any place I can go fishing. I like to go fishing. I don't have to catch anything to be happy.
Yeah.
But I like to get rod and reel and go out to the lake, to the pond. So it could be the Eubanks Pond out in Arkadelphia, or it can be you know, just a pond anywhere, but just like to go out and fish.
All right. Besides the Bible, what's your favorite book?
Well, I like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but something that overtook it was, and I'll say it the wrong way, it's Shackleton Expedition, and I don't know the title of the book, but I read the Shackleton Expedition of Antarctica a year ago or so, and it's incredible that they all survived being stuck in the Antarctic. I think Focus on the Family, family bought that and reprinted it.
Okay.
And I read that, and it was just like, man, how God took those guys and kept them alive is truly amazing.
Awesome.
I also don't want to get stuck on the Antarctic because of that book.
Well, we haven't had many guests, if any, on here with the music background. So I really want to hear, what's your favorite genre of music?
My wife says, you listen to all that stuff. I like country, but I like opera. I do not like rap for the most part. But I do like hymns. I like to listen to guitar hymns, guitar with a flute, or a guitar and nothing else, and doing hymns in the mirror. I just like that kind of music. But I like a lot of kinds. I really do. I really do like some Mexican music, which my wife does not like.
Yeah.
Change that stuff. I go, well, it's got a good rhythm. So it's hard to say one that I like more than any other.
All right. What was the first concert you attended?
I actually went, I think it was Keith Green. And this is before anybody knew who Keith Green was, at the Hospitality House in Burns Park. I don't know if y'all have ever seen it. I don't think they use it anymore. Small.
It was at Burns Park?
It was at Burns Park, on the entrance going near the railroad tracks. And as you go in, and it's on the right, and it was called a Hospitality House. And I think if you pressed, you could probably get about 75 people in there. And Tim Heater, my friend from over in Sherwood, who went to Baron Cross, called me and said, hey, dude, there's this guy. He's giving a concert. It's free. Let's go. I said, okay, well, where are we going? Went to the Hospitality House. It was Keith Green and a piano. And we didn't know who he was. It was awesome. He did a concert. And that little, there's a little thin platform, and he stomps the floor, and he's playing that piano. We were taken back. We just loved it. At that point, we didn't even know who he was.
Yeah,
well, he got so big.
Clint may still not know who he is. I don't know.
Well,
Keith Green
came back to Arkansas years later. I think I was in, I don't know if I was in college, and it was at Robinson Auditorium, and it was full. But I think I like, it was a good concert, but I think I liked
the
first one.
Setting.
Oh, yeah. It was really intimate.
Yeah.
And it was so good. His spirit was just incredible, that it was all about Jesus. It wasn't about his music. It was about Jesus. And he was the kind, he said, if you don't have the money, you just take a tape. And it was like, really? And I think they still do it. If you write his wife and say, I don't have any money, but I want to give a tape to so-and-so, they'll send you the music.
He's one of those guys that those who grew up during that era, boy, we mourned.
Oh.
When he died.
Oh, man.
Just such a prophet with his.
Make us think.
Yes. Yes.
But.
So you want to go back to Egypt?
Egypt.
Ooh.
Manana bread.
Ooh. Well, before my time.
Yeah.
You should go back and look at it and listen to that stuff. It's good.
What's your favorite place to visit?
Place to visit. Or place I have visited? We have taken some awesome vacations with the family. Machu Picchu was one of the most awesome places to just sit, and you see it and you go, wow, that's neat. But when you're there, it's like 360 around you, and you're like, wow, how did somebody come through the jungle and find this spot and say, I'm going to build a city here in the middle of nowhere? In the jungle, and not down by the water. You have to come up the hill, and you go, wow, it's an incredible place. But probably my most favorite vacation with our both our kids at home and stuff, we did 30 days in or 3 weeks in Europe. So we did like 11 countries, train and stuff. The boys were like 11 and 15 or so. And that was really, probably for our family, that was one of the best vacations we ever took.
Wonderful.
Favorite sport?
Soccer.
Okay.
See, that's pretty fast. Right.
But tell me, you mentioned baseball. Yeah. Tell us, how do you use baseball in missions?
Well, I'll say at this point I use any sport. But what happened in Uruguay is that the cable company had come in and put cable. Before that, everybody had antenna. We were on stateside, came back, and they put two cable companies in Rocha. And so they were putting on ESPN, Fox Sports, and all this stuff. The NBA had finished their tournament, and after they started doing baseball. And so we lived in a town of 27,000 people, which is small, okay? And so in 27,000 people, when you have one family who is gringo, American, everybody knows. And you have two kids in two different schools, everybody knew who the gringo family was. And this comes on, and they're watching that baseball game, and try to watch a baseball game and try to imagine people who have never seen a field and never played as a kid watching a game if they could understand. And the truth is, you can't understand baseball by watching on TV if you've never played or don't know the rules. And so they started coming. I'd be playing soccer on Monday nights or in the evenings. I play three nights a week a lot of times with the guys who are my age. And we'd play an indoor job. And between the games, they would come over and sit beside me and say, hey, I was watching this game last night. I don't know what it is, baseball, something. So how do you play that? What are the rules? And I go, well, the rules about, you know, there's a lot of rules. Well, and so I gave them the basics and just kept happening. Now, at the same time, we're praying that God would give us a ministry that would be valid to win men. And so we're still praying this, and everybody's coming to us. Even the TV channel showed up on our front step and said, can we interview you and ask you how to play baseball? Okay. Came into our living room, did it. And I wasn't doing baseball at that time. They wanted to know how to play it and to share it on TV. So I ended up on TV explaining baseball to these people. Then my youth group, which is about 10 kids, started going, hey, would you teach us how to play baseball? And I go, well, I have one bat, one ball, one glove. Well, I can't teach you yet, but we could work on it. And out of that, then when it's like God saying, you're praying for a way to get in there. This is it. And so out of that, we had a new missionary come in who had been semi-pro baseball. And so between us, we sent off to all our people, a lot of churches in Arkansas were involved in this. We asked for used gloves, used balls, used bats. Don't send us anything new. Don't send it as a gift. They sent it to I got... Grover Adams, who was my coach for softball at Baring Cross, sent me his glove with his name on it, okay, and sent it to you. That was my coach in high school when we played church ball. And so we started doing baseball. We decided to do a two-month time of baseball in Rocha, temporada, however you say that in English anymore. I can't speak English. But so we did that, and we do little bitty mini messages of the gospel. So we didn't say, this is the gospel and stuff. We just start, you know, doing a little message. We'd say what Jesus said and what that means. Or we'd tell a little story and do that at every practice. And then we got to the end of the played a little tournament between all them, and then we shared the gospel. Oh, I forgot to go back. We did a week of workshops, or whatever you call them, two-hour sessions in the morning, 2 hours in the mid-afternoon, 2 hours in the evening of baseball for 5 days, two missionaries. And, of course, nobody knows how to pitch, so we taught them how to catch and how to throw and how to bat and all this stuff, and then we played some games and stuff. But the truth is, we pitched a lot, and by the end of 5 days, neither one of us could raise our arm. And he went back on a bus to Montevideo, and he had gotten to Montevideo. He had fallen asleep on the bus, and the bus driver come back, and I had to wake him up and said, aren't you getting off here? We're in Montevideo. He had fallen asleep. He was sound asleep. And we had 150 kids. We put those in four teams, and then we played the 2 months, and out of that came the five kids who came to know Christ. And so it just, people, you hear the the news on the radio, and it went up country, and a PE teacher, well, one of the kids, his mom taught English in another school, she told the PE teacher, she called us and said, would you come up here and teach us baseball? So we went up there with the five kids, and we taught baseball, and we started another team up there. And it just went from there. Then they come from the radio. I went on all the radio stations. But you know about gatekeepers? You've heard about that. Y'all talk about gatekeepers. So Cynthia went out running the first day we moved into town. And she ran around town. She's just getting to know it. She came back. She said, I found a gym. It's not far from our house. So she said, I went in, and I met this lady named Graciela. And I signed you up for soccer. So that's the place I went to play soccer and talk to the guys. And there's soccer for Clayton and all this stuff. And so we got in that gym, and Graciela was the departmental head of the PE teachers for the whole department, like the state of Rocha. And so everybody, she was the boss of all the PE teachers. And so it was the gate opener for all the baseball we did. And then her daughter wanted to learn English, so she sent her to our house, brought her over, and then she became one of the first people who went to the Lord. And then she ended up going to Wichita, went to school. And then she went to seminary.
How incredible.
And she's a really awesome missionary gal. Anyway, but her mom was the gate person that we found, because she would say, Cliff, you're going to do this baseball. I'm going to take you to race. She took me to all the radio stations, and she did now you guys got to listen to this guy. Well, she taught all these people who are PE teachers, who teach all the kids who have to have PE. She opened so many doors for us. And it's so amazing. And it took a long time before we ever saw her come to know Christ.
Wow.
It was really amazing.
That's an incredible story.
It is. It was an amazing situation. Oh, I got another story. Can I tell you another one? You can cut it out if you don't like it. We went to the second place we were invited to do the baseball. And so we got up there, and so they took the PE teacher met us outside and took us in, and I met the director in a town of 2,000 people. And she goes, hi, my name is Myra. I'm an atheist. And I go, hi, I'm Cliff. I'm a Baptist. Because she said atheist. I had no idea why she said that. She must have known we were Christians. She said, I'm an atheist. And I said, I'm Cliff. I'm a Baptist. She goes, what's a Baptist? And I said, what's an atheist? And she started laughing, because she goes, well, that is a question, isn't it? And we made a good friendship with her and the PE teacher, because I made a joke. Okay, I wasn't antagonistic or anything like that. And so every time we go up and do baseball and stuff, she'd say, hey, why don't you come over to the house and eat with, she had like seven kids, and her husband was a farmer, and she was the principal of the school. And so it was amazing that every time she'd invite us to have coffee or whatever, we'd go over, and she's the one who brought up questions about God, the atheist. And then we finally won that little group, and we were winning more kids, and we wanted to do a movie or something, have a little place, and do a Bible study. And so I said, I need a place to meet on Monday nights at 7 p.m. And I figured she'd know where's the place we could do, cheapest possible, a place we could meet that we might can rent, or it's cheap, where we can meet with 25, 30 people. And I said, do you know where we could do it? And she's sitting there thinking, and in a few minutes she goes, well, come by here at 5 o'clock and pick up the key from Teresa. And I said, Teresa, she's a gal who cleans. She cleans after all the kids go, and then she leaves. I said, no, you didn't understand me. We're going to do a Bible study. Here's an atheist. We're going to do a Bible study with about 35 people, and we need a place. And she goes, come by and get the key from Teresa. She said, this is the school property, but after school time, it belongs to the community. I loan it to all sorts of people. You can come by and get the key. And we did our Bible studies in the school that the atheist lady who introduced herself gave us the key and do our Bible study. And you go, you know, God is good and opens
Amen.
Doors
yeah.
with people like Cyrus the King who are not Christians, who don't know God. So it's one of those things you go, well, God's got to be in this, because it's not going to happen without him.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was awesome.
I know that there are so many other stories that you could tell us, Cliff, of what God is doing in Chile and in other places. We love to read those stories and hear those stories. One of my favorite things to do is just jump on the IMB website and read those stories. That they do such an incredible job. And I just encourage our listeners, if you haven't visited, the IMB website, do so.
Yes.
And read those stories just to see what God is doing around the world. As we wrap up this time together, would you just share with us on a personal level the impact that Lottie Moon Christmas Offering has had on you and your family and your ministry? And just share a word with those who listen about the importance of Lottie Moon.
Well, when we think of Lottie Moon, a lot of us think of nowadays, my money I give today. I think it has multi-generation. I, as a kid, would collect and give to Lottie Moon when I was a kid. And I had no idea where it was all going until I started meeting the different missionaries who came and spoke in our church. The Spans who were in Brazil, when they come back, Grandma Span was a member of our church at Barron Cross, so the Spans would speak in our church. I ended up, Grady Span was my sweet mate in college. And so back then, the monies I gave ended up helping them as they lived on the field, for them to go get back and forth, for them to teach, to do what they did. I think of the Hopes, Ben Hope, who was in Brazil also, and they spoke in our church. But there's just I'm looking back, my in-laws who were missionaries, and Cynthia's aunt and uncle who were in Brazil, and Cynthia's parents who were in Argentina, the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering kept them on the field, provided housing for them, provided them a way to live and share the gospel, so they didn't have to worry about going out and raising money. Why? Because they were concentrated on the gospel. And then I look how Lottie Moon provided for MKs going to college, taking care of them so the parents didn't have to worry about them, because I had two MKs, missionary kids doing whatever, second and third world kids now, but I still do MKs, and take care of us. And we know there's things that they do for them because they live in another world and they travel between places. But our housing, our cars, all belong to you, all belong to Southern Baptist, and to keep them running and keeping gas, and so we can go someplace and share the gospel and do our ministry. I go to camps, I'm involved in, I do a lot of recreation and sports, and the monies I use for buying sports equipment and sports tracks and that kind of thing all come from Lottie Moon. And then the churches that ask me to teach them, I teach them, give them materials. They call me up, a pastor the other day. Your Lottie Moon Christmas gifts provided $800 worth of tracks for some sports camps that they're going to be doing and some evangelism doing in this section of Chile. So that's how we get our work done, because we know we're sustained. We have never felt not sustained by it. But not only Lottie Moon, it's that prayers that go with it. And it just, we're not worried about it. And sometimes we take it for granted, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you, because we don't worry about it. We trust God, and we trust you guys as Southern Baptists to provide. And we appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you, Cliff, and we appreciate you and Cynthia and your dedication and heart for missions and your service these past 32 years. And for however much longer God's going to have you there, we are grateful for the ministry that we see. And thank you for being with us today and sharing your heart for missions, and just reminding us again, Clint, of the importance of that discipleship piece in the local church, of teaching young boys and girls what it means to be on mission, and the importance of our giving and our involvement, and that this is what happens when we do that. You know, we have these discussions often with others in the church about this void that maybe we see of at one point of people not being called to serve the local church or missions, and part of the reason is because we've kind of lost that edge, I think. Sometimes
we think, you know, that, and then we find a church that's a little bitty church, and it's just doing everything it's supposed to do, and all. I just thought one thing is that I have never been in church. We get to speak in all sorts of places and all sizes of churches. I've never seen a church that didn't emphasize missions. you have problems, but the churches that emphasize missions and they have families going out and doing missions or going for mission trips, volunteer trips, men or women or groups, I've never seen any of those lack for enthusiasm in the gospel and evangelizing in their neighborhood.
Amen.
So when a pastor says, well, we have to focus on ourselves before we do that, I think it's a both and. And I see when they go, we're going to send one, you know, three people, and they're going to go to Chile and work. When they come back enthusiastic sharing the gospel, they get enthusiastic share the gospel at home. And that's catching. That's contagious. And from that, then the church itself is going to grow better. And so I don't see anything that's not beneficial from doing missions, because I see that it works.
Amen.
I encourage the pastors to do that.
And you are living proof of that, and we're so grateful that you've joined us for this episode of Mission Us.
Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate you guys.
And with that, we will encourage you to be in prayer for Cliff and Cynthia and each of our missionaries serving with the IMB, and to give generously to Lottie Moon, knowing that 100% of your gifts goes to support our missionaries serving among the nations of this world, taking the gospel with them. And with that, Clint, we'll wrap up this episode, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a new episode.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.